The first reading today is the third of the servant songs. You'll notice how this, on Friday, you'll hear the fourth one. God speaks first in the first one, and in the second, and the third, the servant begins to speak. This one. And we heard yesterday, you know, that the servant is called Israel because he sums up the whole vocation of Israel. And now, remember, this is Jesus speaking. Now he describes of what awaits him. The Lord has given me a well-trained tongue, that I may know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. See, this is the word of God describing himself through a prophet before he comes. Morning after morning he opens my ears that I may hear. And I have not rebelled and have not turned back. And now, if you listen, you can hear the words of the description in the Passion. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. This is this servant. See, this is Israel condensed into Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Lord God is my help. Therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. He who is near, that's his father, upholds my right. If anyone wishes to oppose me, let us appear together. Who disputes my right? Let him confront me. See, the Lord God is my help. Who will prove me wrong? We're starting to see, and it will be carried on in another way in the Psalm and another way in the Gospel, this mystery. That our sin can cause such suffering to the Son of God, who willingly embraces it for our salvation. That certainly goes beyond anything we can ever imagine. So now, the servant has begun to speak. The next time we saw him, he was just marred and disfigured beyond the appearance of man. We turned our faces from him. And yet, it was our sins that he was bearing. It was the discipline for our peace that struck him. By his stripes, we are healed. And we come into the very depth of this mystery. The psalm, as you know, is the psalm, one of the psalms of the suffering poor man. For you I bear insult, and shame covers my face. I have become an outcast to my brothers, and strangers to my mother's sons, because zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who blaspheme you fall upon me. You remember when our Lord drove out and cleansed the temple, which had become a marketplace. When they said, by what sign do you do this? And our Lord said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. And the disciples remembered that. That is, the Holy Spirit brought it back to them, and it became real to them. And that text says, zeal for you, and they've changed the word slightly, zeal for your house has consumed me. Why would Jesus be so zealous for that house? Because it's the place that his Father had deigned to come, to bless, to reveal himself, to speak, to receive his people. And now it's become a marketplace. That can happen to our heart, that it become a marketplace. Then, for the last time before we enter into the Triduum, we have another example of Judas. This one is from Matthew's Gospel. What does this have been like for our Lord to have worked so hard with this fellow? And he's going to betray him. If you haven't gone to confession yet, be sure to get there. When you're there, when you're getting ready, ask our Lord to show you how hard he's worked with you and how many times you've betrayed him. And be really sorry for your sins. That's what I say, that old prayer, I loved it so much, where the church says, look, here's two examples of traitors, Judas and Peter. Judas gave up. He didn't really know Jesus. Peter wept, and God made him Pope. The key for every Christian is repentance. Honest, clear repentance. That opens the way for all the graces. Well, you've heard the story many times, right? It's interesting. Just before the Passion begins, in all the Gospels, there's this text. And where the Judas goes, like here, then this woman comes and anoints him. And the contrast again. We've got our choice. The next 3 days, are we going to watch television or are we going to pray for the world? Then he tells them all they're going to betray him. Huh. Now, like that, like us, they know they're weak. Am I going to do it? You know, they're not saying, it'll never be me. That's why they're apostles. See, because he can count on them to know their weakness. He can make them the 12 patriarchs of the new people of God. Now notice they all say, Matthew is very careful here, is it I, Lord? Or surely it is not I, Lord? Finally, Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, surely it is not I, Rabbi. Matthew will not let him call him Lord. Because Lord means faith. Lord means, I want you to be my Lord. No, Rabbi. And our Lord says, which is a very Semitic way of speaking, you have said so. You've said whether it's you or not. This is the way the church now gets us ready. So we have now Thursday, Friday, Saturday, when the Holy Spirit will work mightily in the church to bring us to an understanding of who our Lord is and a union with Him. So that on Easter Sunday, when the Lord bestows upon the whole church the grace of the resurrection, and through the church, the whole world, we can rejoice in who He is, what He's done, and where we're going. But at the same time, be praying for the world. You see? When He rises, He rises in our hearts. He's risen. He's glorious. The angels are worshiping and adoring Him right now. But He rises in our hearts. He rises in the church. And through the church, He can rise and touch hearts throughout the whole world. We should pray for that. And He's going to claim many people for His own on Saturday night. And the Trinity is going to plunge those persons into themselves, not just into water. So let's pray and carry people. And you know, there are people, I mean, there's lots of rich and busy people who have no idea. You know, They might get a day off, but I mean, maybe not that anymore. But then there's a lot of poor and downtrodden people who hardly know that it's Easter, that it's now time to think about the passion of our Lord and the love he has for us. I remember my old professor, Father Lyonnais, said, you know, sometimes they say, if you want to see the real meaning of sin, look at the cross. He said, no. If you want to see the meaning of love, look at the cross. If you want to see the meaning of sin, look at hell. That's where it goes, cut off from God. We're so grateful for what the Lord has taught the church in 2 millennia to get us ready like this.